Bilang paghahanda rin sa ating mensahe, tayo ay dumulog sa Panginoon sa panalangin. Dakila naming Diyos, lubos kami nagpapasalamat sa mga narinig naming patotoo na nagpapaalala sa amin ng mga ginawa mo sa aming kalagitnaan bilang iglesia sa loob ng 28 taon mula sa umpisa na parang isang panaginip lamang at hindi namin alam noon kung saan ang kahihinatnan ng iglesyang binubuo ng mga kabataan, mga estudyante. Ngunit sa nakalipas na mga panahon ay nakita mo kung saan mo dadalhin ang pagtuturo at pangangaral ng iyong salita at narito kami ngayon. Kaya ibinabalik namin sa iyong pasasalamat, ngunit hindi kami natatapos sa aming mga panaginip, sa aming mga pangitain. We continue to have visions and dreams of what a church yet could be under your blessing and under your guidance. And so we continue to look to you. And in those 28 years, there have been unpleasant circumstances. There have been times when we did not want to do, but in obedience to your word, we needed to exercise censure and discipline. And we thank you for the testimony we have heard, how that discipline can in fact be used for your glory and for the restoration of the fallen one. Kaya muli, isang confirmation ito ng iyong salita na kapag sinusunod ay naroon ang iyong pagpapala at patuloy na pagkasangkapan. At salamat din na muli ay pinatunayan na ang bawat desisyong ginagawa na umanib sa iglesyang ito ay nangunguna ang kadahilanan ng iyong salita. At naway patuloy na ito ang maging pangunahing atraksyon ng aming iglesia, hindi ang aming anumang tinatangkilik, hindi ang anumang ganda ng aming mga mayroon kami, kung hindi ang daladala naming mensahe at salita ng aming Panginoong Heso Kristo. At ngayong maghahanda kaming makinig na muli ng iyong salita, bigyan mo kami ng kalakasan ng aming pangangatawan, bigyan mo kami ng matalas na atensyon, at nawa ngayong magkaroon ka muli ng laan na pagpapala para sa bawat isa na ikatitibay namin at lalo pang ikalalalim ng aming pagpapasalamat and our appreciation for all your goodness to us as a church. Indeed, it has been your doings, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So be with us today. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Perhaps no event in recent history has been subjected to more investigation and analysis than the assassination of U.S. President John F. Kennedy. And today is its anniversary. It happened November 22, 1963. It has been 46 years since that event in Dallas, Texas, and the case could not be said to have been settled. Although there is an official finding by the Warren Commission, yun yung fact-finding commission of BNO, nang ito yung nangyari, the Warren Commission, of course, pointed to Lee Harvey Oswald as the assassin, yet so many conspiracy theories remain that are taken seriously by various quarters. There is no agreement, and with the demise recently of the last of the Kennedy brothers, probably no agreement will ever come. Well, for our part, we are approaching our own anniversary as a church, and fortunately, it is not a death anniversary. It is not the dying that we have to explain, but rather we need to explain the preserving of our church for 28 years. Paano natin ipapaliwanag ang pag-iingat, ang pananatili ng iglesia sa 28 taon? What explains it? There is no need for conspiracy theories. There should be no disagreement on the ultimate cause of the preservation of the Church of Christ. For any local church, for that matter, in any locality of this world, there should be one reason ultimately why a church is preserved. And looking back, for those of us who were there in those almost three decades, it was not a smooth ride, or not on your life. There have been a lot of flaws, as might be expected, of a community made up of sinners. Not only flaws, there have been threats to our very existence as a church. There have been times when we might have disintegrated. But 28 years since, a group of people met in a room in AXE building in UPLB on November 29, 1981. And eight of those chartered together, we are still here. And what explains it? I invite you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 124. Psalm Psalm 124, we'll read the whole psalm, that's verses 1 to 8. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, let me just explain that this psalm belongs to a collection of psalms that stretches from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. They are known, as you can see in the title of your psalms, kung meron kayong New King James, it is called Psalm of Ascents, or it is also called Pilgrim Psalms. These are the psalms that are sung by pilgrims when they travel to Jerusalem for the annual feasts of their faith. Alam nyo sa pananampalataya sa Lumang Tipan, merong tatlong annual feast. At sa tuwing darating ang annual feast, yung mga kalalakihan sa iba't ibang lugar ay kinakailangan pumunta ng Jerusalem. At sila ay mag-alay ng handog doon sa templo. So, as they traveled from where they come, they will sing these psalms. All these 15 psalms in all. So, they are called Pilgrim Psalms. These psalms have the motif of travel and pilgrimage, including dangers on the road and enemies lurking around. And our psalm in particular is specially emphatic on those dangers that could have caused damage and destruction on the pilgrims. Yung kanilang paglalakbay, maraming peligro, maraming panganib bago sila makarating ng Jerusalem. At ito yung kanilang inaawit upang paalala sa kanilang sarili na sila iniingatan ng Panginoon. And here is one psalm that we have read, which I believe to be very applicable to us as a church, explaining our pilgrimage of 28 years. One explanation that stands out why these pilgrims made it to Jerusalem to observe the required feast was because the Lord had been on their side. And I say this is very relevant, very applicable to our own case as a church, the thought of our preservation. So we ask, why are we still here? Let me then draw a message that is relevant to us as a church. The message is, the Lord made the gracious difference in our 28 years as a church. Ang Panginoon ang siyang naging kaibahan natin sa biyaya sa loob ng 28 taon natin ng pagka-iglesia. The Lord made the gracious difference in our 28 years as a church. The psalmist points out the various threats in figures of speech, and these figures highlight the helplessness of the pilgrims. Twice, he attributes to this one fact their preservation. If it had not been the Lord on our side. And the way he expresses it suggests that it could have been otherwise. It would have been possible that the Lord was not on their side and they would have been destroyed. So if it had not been the Lord, any other possibility but the Lord, we would not have persevered, we would not have made it to Jerusalem. And let me say the same thing. If there had been other possibilities but the Lord, then there would have been no difference from any other stories of disintegrated churches and communities. And that explains it. And let me put it in two ways. First, consider threats to the church. And secondly, grace for the church. Upang mapahalagahan natin kung paano naging ang kaibahan ng iglesia ay ang Panginoon, tingnan natin yung mga naging banta sa iglesia. At ikalawa ay ang biyaya sa iglesia. First of all, threats to the church. The psalmist points to different sources of threats. The first, he uses the literal in terms of human enemies. May mga kaaway. At ang sabi niya, they would have swallowed us alive. So he compares these human enemies to monsters ready to eat them whole. And then he shifts to figures. Una, flash flood. Siyempre, familiar tayo kung ano ang flash flood. He spoke of waters overwhelming us. And then next, he used the figure of birds being trapped and snared by fowlers. And all those figures reveal that there were powerful threats against the pilgrims that could have threatened their way to Jerusalem. And I say the same thing of the church. I say the same thing of our history as a church. There were and there continue to be powerful threats to the church that could easily destroy our commitment to the Word. Now remember, the reason for the pilgrimage ng mga Hudyo nung lumang tipan ay para sumunod sa utos ng Diyos. The law required it. The law required that male Jews would travel to Jerusalem when the annual feast approached. That is their commitment to the Word. Well, fortunately for us, our commitment to the Word does not entail any pilgrimage to some holy land. Yet, the commitment to the Word provokes no less threat today for a church that seeks to be faithful. And let me spell out the threats in two forms. Threats to the purity of the church, threats to the unity of the church. And both those threats we have experienced in 28 years. Threats to the purity of the church, and by the purity of the church, I do not mean the perfection of the church. We never claim, we never aspire, and we never profess to ever being perfect. But what is called pure is the Word of God, and the church is the steward of the pure Word of God. Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. And then Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. So sinasabi ni Timoteo ni Pablo kay Timoteo ay bantayan mo ang ipinagkatiwala sa iyo. And that's what purity of the church means, purity of holding fast to what is given to us in the Word of God. And what Paul earnestly told Timothy, I say again and again to our church, O GBC, guard what was committed to your trust. It was very easy to compromise the purity of the Word of God given the many threats. In place of purity, there's always the threat of yielding to popularity. You know what people like? Don't we want to be liked? Don't we want as a church to be liked by people so that people will rush into our church and we become a mega church, one of these mega churches who are very popular? Well, you know, even in the brief period, relatively, of 28 years, I have seen what is popular to have changed again and again. In the 80s, liberation theology was popular. Militancy. You needed to be militant, revolutionary, to be popular. In the 90s, it's the charismatic movement. You need to be oriented to miracles and to signs and wonders to be popular. And more recently in our day, you have popular books such as Purpose-Driven Life. They change colors, they change skins, they change slogans and catchy titles, but always they are a substitute for the gospel. And just in these last 10 years, the popular call has been joint politics. The siren call is, let us have our own president. Yan ang sirena ng mga iglesia ngayon. Maglagay tayo, magluklok tayo ng presidente natin sa Malacanang. At ito ang nagiging kampanya. At ang mga bagay na yan ay ating nilabanan, kahit kung minsan ay tinuturing tayo ng iba na humihiwalay sa kanilang interes. Well, the reason is because I remember from the earliest pulpit that I used there in Villegas, there was a verse that was posted on the front of that pulpit. Remember? For of Him and through Him and unto Him are all things, to whom be glory. It's Romans 11:36. That verse remains very precious to me. And that is the reason why we cannot adapt to the popular. We must retain the integrity of the church in its mandate. You know, yung redwood trees are among the tallest in the world, and some of the oldest in California. Some are more than 1,000 years old. Can you imagine? Nandun na yung punong yun, bago pa sila Columbus, bago pa sila Magellan. And the reason why they grow so old is they can retain their integrity as a tree. And that is what you and I need to retain as a church. You and I need to hold fast to the purity of the Word of God, no matter if we are not popular and we have never been. But that is, those are the threats to the purity. But secondly, in those 28 years, there have been threats to the unity of the church. And here, let me be more personal. My father, being a soldier, I probably inherited a warrior spirit from him, which means that I am a natural fighter when it comes to principles and doctrines. By God's grace, I can die for them. But nothing has wounded me more painfully in the history of our church than discord and personal conflicts. In none of the several that we have had in 28 years was I personally prepared. It always left me rattled, confused, hurt. In doctrinal issues, I always had my sword ready. In personal conflicts, I just wanted to hide in my foxhole. Yes, at times, I wanted to quit. Imagine those pilgrims going to Jerusalem. Threats from external enemies would have been perilous in themselves. But nothing would have been more wearisome for these pilgrims than if there were discord in the camp. Mas nakakapagod yun. Nakapanlulupaypay, pagod ka na sa paglalakbay mo at pagkatapos nagkakagulo pa sa loob ng kanilang kampo. And we have had those periods. They never felt good. But they will happen. In a church of sinners, give it 2 years, 5 years, there will be periods of conflicts. They will be unavoidable. What about 28 years? There will be. It is a wonderful thing, though. In 28 years, there has been no split in this church. What came closest, then I won't mention names, but what came closest just a few years ago, we would have been a split if it were decided on a popularity contest. But it was decided to the glory of God doctrinally. And though I knew it was painful personally to many of us, we decided doctrinally, we galvanized together, we decided as one. Painful, I felt it to the crushing of my bones, but I give God the glory that the church decided it will be doctrine before relations. And this is the thing that I think explains that by the grace of God, it has made a difference in the church. In 28 years, we are still here. And let me say, we are not past the threats, either to purity or unity, and we must always be on guard. There are threats from the outside. Just as the pilgrims going to Jerusalem would be in danger of attack from prowling enemies, there are threats from the inside, just as someone in the pilgrimage can become a threat to the rest. Anyone can transform into a threat, just as everyone is needed to defend against any threat. And we need each one. You never know what one can do if he commits himself to the glory of God and to the purity of the Word of God. I mentioned to you John F. Kennedy, who died on November 22, 1963. Another man died on that same day. And because the headline all over was, of course, Kennedy's death, the news of his death was buried in the inside pages. But he made more influence. He made more impact upon the kingdom of God than any 5 or 10 JFKs can do. That's C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis died on November 22, 1963, having written books and literature for children, books for scholars, defending the Christian faith. But did you know that he began as an atheist? He was an atheist as a professor in Cambridge. But then, ordinary Christians became an influence upon him. And one day he testified, he was just traveling and all these thoughts were pressed upon him. He said he began the travel as a skeptic. When he came to his destination, he was a believer. All because of the thoughts that were pressing upon him coming from believers. And he became a towering influence for Christianity. And this is what we need, those committed Christians who will speak for their faith, who will be a fellow pilgrim, who will be able to help the weary in order that we together might reach our Jerusalem. There are threats. There have been threats to the church. But then let me close with a thought of the grace of God for the church. Grace for the church, in the words of the psalmist, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. And then he repeats, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now this expression is what you call subjunctive. It means it could have been otherwise. And if it were otherwise, it would have been disastrous. Any other possibility would have yielded a totally different result. Kung hindi ang Panginoon ang nasa panig natin, what it highlights is it is indispensability. Nothing short of this. Nothing else than this. And so I say the preservation of our church these 28 years is only because of God's gracious presence with us. So I was really touched when Nora mentioned about Am's testimony years ago when she was asked, why are you transferring here? And though this is not a perfect church, she said, God is here. God is present here. And that should explain it. This psalm, this is attributed to David, can be connected to some periods in David's life when his very existence was in peril. It could have been when Saul was in pursuit of him, maring nung tinutugi siya ni Saulo, or when Absalom, his own son, temporarily dethroned him. Those, I imagine, must have been hurtful days for David. And yet, the Lord was on his side. So in the history of our church, there were those occasions when our very existence was in peril. But thankfully, those periods were not frequent, but some were very serious. Some did damage. So what explains that we are still here? If we had relied on anything or anyone else than the Lord, disaster. It would have been disaster. But we needed the presence of the Lord. Nothing short of that. Remember, after Israel's sin, nung golden calf, the Lord appeared to Moses and offered him something. The Lord told him, I will bring you and the people to the promised land, but my presence will not go with you. That's the Lord's offer to him. Sige, dadaling ko kayo sa lupang pangako, ngunit wala ang aking presensya. Eh kung sa mga mentalidad ng mga Kristiyano ngayon, that's a good bargain. Uy, langit. Eh, walang responsibilidad, walang presensya ng Diyos. Langit naman. Eh, okay na yun. Moses said, if your presence will not go with us, do not bring us to the land. In other words, it's meaningless without the Lord's presence. So Moses refused. He did not want any semblance of success without the Lord on their side. And so must we. That must be our commitment. We don't want growth where the Lord is not. We don't want influence where the Lord is not. We don't want financial funding where the Lord is not. We don't want any of these things after which churches are aspiring and racing if the Lord is not with us. And let me close with this thought. It must be the deliberate and consistent confession of God's people. And that is why you have here the words, let Israel now say. Pinaulit, sabihin ito ng Israel. And let me say, let GBC now say, if it had not been the Lord. It implies the danger of wrong attribution. Well, the reason why the church is still here is it's very easy to say it's because of the pastor, it's because of the people, it's because of the members. And that would be terribly wrong. Think of your own individual preservation. This time of the anniversary. And every time the anniversary comes, I cannot avoid thinking of the apostates. And I can still name them from the very start. They are scars. But here you are, preserved. And you ask why? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. It's easy to highlight good things in the church. You know, outsiders of the church often tell me, ginagamit pa nila kuminsan yung salitang maswerte. Maswerte ka, pastor, yung mga miyembro mo, mga scientist. Minsan binibiro ko, sinasabi ko, ay hindi, may mga mathematician din. But the point is, you're looking at the wrong thing. If you think that it's because your church is of the stock of graduates of this school or professionals, you're wrong. Let us say it and mean it. And when we mean it, we will say it. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Or in the language of that hymn, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. This grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. George Whitefield, that great evangelist, had a journal, and many have discovered that one-liner that is most often in his journal is that one-liner, "Let the name of George Whitefield perish, so long as Christ is exalted." As he went from place to place, people admired him. People by the thousands flocked to his preaching. And he knew the danger. And so he would always remind himself, "Let the name of George Whitefield perish, so long as Christ is exalted." And let that be our confession. Let GBC be identified as the church on whose side is the Lord and not anyone else. Let me ask you, my friend, are you now on the Lord's side? Perhaps you are on the side of the church. Perhaps you attend church frequently and never failing. But are you on the Lord's side? Have you received the invitation of the gospel to come to Christ, make him Lord of your life, Savior of your soul? Or have you consistently procrastinated that call? And this time of the anniversary, I especially implore you, do not procrastinate any longer. Come to Christ. That is the reason this church is here. Not for you to have the comfort of the thought, I'm in a church. But are you on the Lord's side? Are you the Lord's? If not, come to him. I appeal to you, come to him and be on the Lord's side. And we as a church, let this be our commitment. How many more years? We do not know who will be in this ministry. We do not know who will be added to the membership. We do not know. But this one thing is our hope by the grace of God. Let it be the Lord who is on our side. Let us sing our last hymn. As we think of the Lord on our side, our plea to him is, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." And as we look to him, as the last verse says, "Long as my life shall last, teach me thy way, where'er my lot be cast, teach me thy way, until the race is run, until the journey is done, until the crown is won, teach me thy way." Let's close in prayer. Tunay nga, Panginoon, na ibinabalik namin sa iyong kapurihan at tulad ng sinabi ng umawit, kung hindi ang Panginoon ang nasa aming panig, maaring kami ay natakluban ng napakaraming banta sa aming iglesia. Maaring kami natabunan ng mga iba't ibang kaaway ng pananampalataya. Ngunit dahil ang Panginoon ay nasa aming panig, ito ang siya naming tunay na bigyan ng kapurihan at pagkilala. We return to you the thanks and the praise for our preservation as a church these 28 years. Indeed, when we look back, as we heard the testimonies and as we now hear this message, we look back to the years gone by. And any of those threats could have buried us deep in our own sins, and yet here we are still. And it is not to any man, woman, or thing or property, influence or power that we would attribute this. It is only because the Lord had been on our side. And may that be our confession. May that be our commitment. In the same way that Moses refused to be brought to the promised land unless your presence would go with the Israelites. So let it be our own commitment. We do not want success where your presence is not. We do not want growth or financial funding where your presence is not. We want simply to be a church, whether we grow big or not, our contentment is that the Lord is with us. We pray that for the years ahead, this will continue to be our commitment. This will continue to be our hope, that the Lord is on our side. And so we ask that each one of us will commit himself and herself to this confession, to the purity of the church in holding fast to the word and the mandate that you have given to us. To hold fast, in the language of the Apostle Paul, to struggle for the unity of the church. We ask, O Lord, that we would be able to do so only by the shower of your abundant grace. We pray for those who, until this time, are still not on the Lord's side. They have been in the church. They have heard the message. They have known for so long and still not on the Lord's side. We ask in your grace to reach out to them that they may see in Jesus the only Lord and Savior for their souls. And once again, as a church, we join together our hearts in thanking you and praising you for the preservation of our church these 28 years. For if it had not been the Lord on our side, we give you thanks for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.